Hello and welcome to the Gossip Stone podcast, where we cover the Ocarina of Time randomizer. We focus primarily on racing and the competitive scene, as well as various other related topics for the community as a whole. Hello, everybody. I'm Emo Soto, joined again, as always, by one of my co-hosts here. Well, by both, actually. who wrote that? Chuckles.
You didn't update the script. What can I say?
I am here. It's lucky I'm not asleep because I've been waiting for Jimbo for 50 minutes to join the fucking studio. And apparently he's a 10 out of 10. Oh, bullshit. I don't know.
Welcome on in, Jimbo.
I'm happy to be back. I know I missed the last one, but I listened to it and it seemed like it went pretty well without me there. So
yeah, you definitely heard. Well, today is what you've all been looking forward to. Hopefully, it's the mailbag episode. Chuckles, what are we doing?
Well, we were going to talk about the mailbag, and then you put in the summer series in the script, so I think we're going to do that first. So,
all right. Well, there is a tournament. It's kind of a very short tournament, I feel like it's going to be. And kind of a limited time, like it's going to be over by the next episode, so we might as well talk about it now, and then we can do like a post tournament talk afterward. But either way, there was a live qualifier, just one seed. You could async it beforehand through Speed Gaming. They usually do the live event in the fall, but they always, since the pandemic happened, they've always had an online version as well, because they switched to that, and then they had both since then. So, but now we have this kind of, we don't know, I guess, necessarily if this is different from like the actual online event from last year, right? But this one's a little bit earlier in the year. But either way, no qualifiers besides the one seed. But yeah, Chuckles and I are in it. We're playing, and Chuckles just played his first race, and well, thankfully won.
Yeah, I'm in a good mood because, yeah, I just did my round of 32 race. And on Monday, it's the clown off. It's Chuckles versus Decker in the round of 16. So we'll be looking forward to that.
Oh, awesome. And a lot of exciting matches, of course, to look forward to. We got Zabi Sponge. We got Exodus E. Cola. We got Fabio Inc. Kawari Flea. And Flea Tangia played first round. We had First Sponge first round as well. Rock Chalk Mario tonight. I play Netherion tomorrow. Like a lot of good matchups to look forward to still.
Hey, what determined who got a bye, by the way? Because I saw that some people were like already in round two.
Yeah, so they wanted more than 32 players to play in the qualifier, right? So it didn't get up to that. I think we had 30 total, and then after drops, like 27, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, there was a couple of additional spots. So it was like the first four or five people in the qual kind of went through on a bye, which I quite like that format anyway. I was actually trying to convince Dastar to do a qualifying stage where half the people would go through to like the bracket, and then there'd be like a preliminary, like if it was like top 48 or something like that, and or like top 24, do it that way. So I actually quite like that, like the top people got through on a bye to the second round. I think that's pretty cool. There was 30 people total, and then a couple of people, I think two or three people dropped out. So a few people went through to the main phase straight away. I think that was Seddy. Seddy won.
Yep.
Seddy won the qual. And then going through as well was Zavi, Exodus, and Favio. So four people, I believe. And then the rest of us slum bags just have to be in the round one matchups. So,
Scan K also got a bye.
Skank?
Oh, let's go, Skank. Skank. Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, so it was top five.
Yeah, I think they played the seed a lot better than everyone else, for sure, just straight up. It was actually a Valley hookshot trick seed. So if you did that, you find your go mode in GTG and you just walk to spirit and then you're good to go. So
yeah,
saved about 10-15 minutes over people going ice or trying to find long shot. So it was just magic hinted. So it could have been in shadow, could have been Child Goron City, which it was. So kind of difficult. Because you're probably going to go to shadow more likely than not if you're in that situation. Mm-hmm. So unless you depends on how you space out your child adult segments, really. But should be again, good matches to look forward to. And we'll have a status update for sure next episode.
Mm. Yeah. You think you're going to win your match?
Nope.
No.
What?
No. I don't know. Wow. I think I'm more practiced than the Therian, but I don't think anyone's like really practiced on these settings, so I don't fully have an expectation set for myself yet. I'll try my best, but I don't know how short on average the seeds are, right? Because we saw one like 15, 110 or something from Flea Tanjo.
Yeah, so, crazy.
I don't think anybody knows really. Because no, I mean, yeah, it's the same settings from last year, but with you're sprinkling on beatable only, so it's like, and that can just completely sway a seed depending on how it plays out in terms of time. So some seeds might still take forever, and some could be really, really short.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like the seed forces you to do certain things a lot of the time. So knowing whether or not like a hint of like, I don't know, 20 strength or just anything really can be, do I actually need that, you know, kind of a situation, or do you just go for it and hope that everyone is going for it and is required to?
I think time wise if you're going above 2 hours, then you should be worried. It's kind of, yeah, like my mindset with this. So like my race, I finished in 1:55 and I was like, all right, okay, if that was over 2 hours, I think I might have like probably would have unlikelihood would have lost that. You're looking for sub two, unless it's some weird like AD, but I don't think I've had a single AD yet in like the 5-6 seeds that I've played. Maybe I've played more like 7-8 seeds.
Yeah,
at this point,
usually you'd get like one AD seed, like with that kind of a sample, right? Like, yeah, it's kind of interesting for sure.
I think if that's what they were going for, where if you don't want AD seeds, they should have changed the whole like song.
You're always just two dungeons basically away from all dungeons, right? So like,
yeah,
feel like maybe spacing that out more, not giving you forest med at the start is probably a good start towards that. But maybe not, because that would just significantly increase the seed length potentially.
Yeah. I mean, even with that critique too, I still think they're pretty damn good settings and, you know, really competitive. So
yeah, they're still fun. They're not my most favorite setting, and it's definitely weird to go back to no dungeon ER after like 6-8 months of just like a lot of dungeon ER, and I'm about to start a dungeon ER tournament with mixed pools. Again, by the time you hear this, you have about a week to join. So it's going to be a lot of exciting matches there too. But yeah, just it's kind of sandwiched in between all the CR. It's kind of crazy to go back to it.
Yeah, the going back to non-dungeon ER was quite weird. I was almost thinking like, what do you even do? Like, clearly the seeds are so much easier because like you don't even need to think about like accessing dungeons and stuff like that. But you do get back into the swing of things, and it is quite nice to go back to this. And I think we spoke about it before the recording, because you know Jimbo was so late that we had to speak about some things before.
I'm sorry.
we were saying like the beatable only thing is a bit of a, I think a lot of people wanted it, but I think people would have preferred to have it with like the pre-completed medallion turned off and like a random starting medallion and like do the whole like, I think that would have been a nicer way of doing it. The beatable only thing is an interesting thing to include in here, but I haven't seen it too much into play other than kind of like you know, things like, oh, clearly there's only one bow in the seed and clearly there's only two strengths kind of thing. So,
yeah. Feel like without required only two, it's just all the really good performances become that much more impressive too at the same time, because like you have so much choice and you chose the right path, or like your routing was slightly better going to all the places rather than kind of just getting like funneled into a lot of different plays. But because currently it's like I'm kind of scared to just like go around Hyrule right now. Like I don't want to really commit to anything because I might just not be anything required. Everything's in CAC and child checks, and then you just go to your dungeons, right? Like it's kind of scary.
You got to be quick. You just got to be quick. Like you can't. I feel like as soon as you made one mistake, like once you've done one mistake, I feel like that's like it's kind of curtains in these settings. So you got to be quick and you got to make the right decision, and like just properly just push the progression, and you know, just kind of think about like how you're kind of playing the seed. Yeah, like my seed today, my race day was a bit weird because the early game like didn't really have anything, and actually I still don't even know what the logical progression was in that. Like there was some weird fucking ass thing where like my forest temple, which was a medallion, so it was on the lower path priority, had a Ruto's letter to get Saria's song, like to enter the forest temple. Fucking stupid piece of shit.
I don't think you ever found the logical bomb bag either, right? Because the one
No, I found it out of logic when in Goron City. Yeah, and the hammer was unless like the two strengths, but like I don't think the what strength I found was locked behind Ganon's, which is locked behind bomb bag. Yeah, so no idea.
Yeah, no, sorry. Nobody gives a fuck whether it was logical or not. So
no. It's just like you read them, so I'm just like. Like, I'm just not even looking at this Ruto's letter. Like, it just doesn't exist. I'm just going to do something else. And I was right. So there we go. Yeah, the tournament has $200, sorry, not £200. $200 allocated to it from Speed Gaming. So first to fourth place will actually get some money.
Woohoo!
And people can donate to the prize pool if they so wish to donate to the prize pool, but... yeah, I'm not going to.
Some nice drinking money, sure.
Yeah.
Not going to say no to it if I get there, sure.
Oh, nice. Nice little pint.
Well, I was thinking like 8 pints or something, but yeah.
That's more like a case or something, you know?
8 pints for me. Well, if you come fourth, you're only getting like 20% of $200, so it's like $40. Oh. Bucks, so.
Yeah, all right. Two cases of beer, man, depending on what you get.
Just go to a dive bar, you know. That can go a long way, but
good old lovely case of PBR or something like that.
Hey, on the other hand, it could also pay for your IRL entrance fee for
live.
I mean,
yeah,
I thought you were gonna say pay for my flight. I was like, well, give me,
yeah, well, I
give me the
that.
Other £500 that I need to do that.
You going on a model plane, bro? Or
yeah, I did think about saying that, and then I was like, yeah, there's no fucking way, like,
not even close.
Entry fee, nice,
yeah, that's still kind of cool though. I'm gonna roll into another Uter event, sure.
Let's move on to the mailbag. We've got a lot of questions in. People have emailed some suspicious questions. Some people have actually put in some good questions. So we're going to do a mix of the two of them.
All right. What's the what's the first question here?
All right. First question. So this was before RSL got cancelled. Looking at what's currently possible for settings in RSL Season 7, what's an entirely new setting you'd like to see added to the randomizer for Season 8? For example, randomizing grass drops. And they've put like in Majora's Mask, but that's already in.
Yeah, we already got that on the RSL branch now that it uses the real Rob branch of randomizer. He has grass, but also colored grass, so... if you have contents matches, I think it's always on for grass beehives and boulders, which was like one of the last things added last season, boulder rando. So sometimes you just have blue ice like in fields, so or not red ice, I mean, so you'd need blue fire or blue fire arrows. if those are on, not all the time guaranteed. So what would I add currently? Probably Reward Shuffle. That's on a different branch. I think that's on a Fennel branch of the randomizer. I don't think it's on Real Rubs. So that's probably one thing I would incorporate, because I think that would be pretty interesting for randomized settings, right? So
I'm going to check that, by the way, real quick, just to be sure.
Yeah. That's cool. Just because it just breaks up a lot in terms of your expectations of the seat. So it kind of like once you see it as a player, like you just like open a chest and it's a reward, like out of a big chest or something. You kind of switch gears at that point. So like I kind of like settings that do that in that environment where you kind of you encounter something and you're like, oh no, like I got to go do this other thing now, or like abandon your routing and change it up on the fly. I think that's always been a cool play pattern in randomizer. So that's probably what I would add.
So funny enough, 9.0 or 9.1, I should say, stable was released. Was that today or was that yesterday? I know it was released
yesterday.
Dungeon reward shuffle is actually in. So like you could shuffle it like anywhere. So if it's in stable, that means it's in main dev, and that means it's most likely in the other. Dev branches as well, so that's certainly an option if you want to look down that avenue.
It was a setting that we kind of last minute wanted to test out for mixed pools, change from like a boss shuffle, right, and bosses can be anywhere kind of a thing, to now your rewards can be anywhere, and the bosses are basically two checks now. The item you get from like the heart piece, and then the reward is now an item once you go through the blue warp. So, but it needs more testing overall. I'm not really confident how many seeds it's been played on ever. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's probably some issues with that. So I would want like total 50 seeds or something like that to be totally sure. But that's definitely something we might consider for next year, just to mix it up even further.
Yeah.
I think in RSL that would be interesting. I like that kind of like a 10% kind of rate maybe, because I do think it would play very, very differently. We spoke earlier about it being like a glorified Triforce piece, and where the Triforce pieces actually do something that unlock kind of, you know, songs and checks and other areas and things like that. So yeah, definitely something I would like at like, you know, the 10% kind of level, and probably actually just replace Triforce on out and out in that.
It kind of is its own like separate thing now, and I think it's better in that environment than it's ever been. And like it's like one of the worst settings you want for RSL, and it's been pretty divisive, as I said, like so divisive that they created their own like tournament, like series, and like Discord community. I think it's entirely separate now for most things randomizer. It's still randomizer, right? Even though I don't really think it is, but that's just my personal opinion, but it's still cool. But I think it'd be a nice replacement for it. Cause imagine like you get, I don't know, you like pause on your menu and you have compasses and maps and they give info, right? And it's like, your stones are cack. Okay.
Well, yeah.
You go there and then you go like child to get the OOT song and it's like ZL. It's like, oh, okay, well, that was sick. Like, when is that ever going to happen in another seed? So unique play experiences too is something that is kind of that whole format of RSL is kind of excelled at, is unique play experiences, or including settings or combinations of settings that you just won't see anywhere else. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment from both of you. I also agree with Chuckles. It would have to be like a low percent roll to get. I wouldn't want to be seeing Dungeon Reward Shuffle like 50% of the time. You know,
like,
what I mean?
I think 10 to 20 is reasonable. Like a 1 in 5, 1 in 10. That's fine.
That's fair.
Yeah, the choice I would put in would be Enemizer. So shuffling the enemies about. That would be... I think that would, again, I would probably say like 5% on that to be proper low. But yeah, I really like how that change, how it, like the logic and built in it. Because you think like our enemizer, it's just like enemies in different positions. But it's like so many doors are locked behind killing enemies. And it's like if there's an Anubis, like in this room, you now need a fire source and magic to kill this enemy. Like, and just seeing the moblins everywhere, the hammer moblins everywhere, and they just don't fit in the rooms. It's fantastic.
It's terrifying seeing them in like fields over P-hats or something. Like,
My favorite one with it was that, like, it was in Jabu. There was one in Jabu, like, replaced one of the Barrys or something like that, and it was just like huge in the fucking in Jabu, and I was so scared. I was actually terrified. Like, opening the door and seeing this fucking moblin.
I remember the last time I played Enemizer and messed around with that is the Flare Dancers were pretty problematic as an enemy.
Yeah.
Because you can get them underwater and then you just can't kill them unless you have Iron's Hook, I think, is what you need. But otherwise, they can also jump out of bounds in dungeons. So I don't know if that's been fixed, but that would definitely need fixing before it's like mainstream or just like tournament ready as a setting. But it's really fun, just for kind of all the reasons you listed, but just unique play experiences.
Yeah, I don't think it's anywhere near close being ready. I don't follow the development of it too closely, but every once in a while I'll see like a commit from Real Rob, who's like the primary maintainer of it, where it's just like fix after fix after fix.
Repo update
channel. Yeah. It's just like, I don't think we're at a point where we can risk like having that in any tournament like setting at all until they iron out all
it's
the bugs.
A fun thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's precisely why we haven't seen it yet in the randomizer, is because it requires all of this work, but it's definitely been one of the most like requested settings, I think, since randomizer started, because you can get that a lot in other games randomizer. Well, I'm going to agree to that, because you can get that in a lot of other games randomizers. Enemizer is just being, you know, kind of a popular setting overall too, so glad to see that it's being worked on, so looking forward to when it's like actually ready, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, aside from the actual mechanics of, you know, everything working the way it's supposed to, there still needs to be logic written for it, right, for it to even make sense. So it's like,
yeah,
there's good still luck. A whole ton of work that needs to be done to, you know, bring this to life. And I'm sure if, you know, anybody wants to, if we have any like logic buffs out there that want to help out, I'm sure they would be more than happy to accept that assistance from you if you wanted to, you know, help out and chip in, if you're familiar with GitHub and whatnot, of course. So just wanted to throw that in there.
I want to have it so like it can shuffle the bosses in there as well. So you're just like in Ice Cavern and Baronade in there. Like,
oh my god!
You can't do that.
Oh no! But it would just be funny that like if you're in Ice Cavern and just like Baronade's there and just like go into, you know, go into the main lobby of Spirit Templar and King Dodongo is just rolling about.
Like. That would be.
You can
cool.
actually you can get that in Link's Awakening randomizer. Like you'll have bosses in the wrong room.
Oh wow!
It's pretty cool.
So like, how does that work? Like, if you kill them, does it just like they're just dead? So when you walk into their actual boss room, they're just dead already, and you just get the reward? Is it just like a different boss in the boss room?
Different boss in the boss room.
Okay. Could it be like anything, or does it have to be a main boss?
Like the main bosses.
Okay. All right.
Between each other, so it's definitely different in terms of how they do it. Like, you'd think it would be like. You walk in and it's like, oh, it's currently where the boss room is randomized, but no, it's a little different.
It's just it's just like Molder, I'm just rolling about.
Yeah, for OT, you can't shuffle them to enemies because again, it would crash the game really easily, especially with something like Bongo.
Because
when he spawns in, he has to play the cutscene, so that's problematic.
He needs his cutscene. He needs his dramatic entrance.
I think it's probably the same with Volv too, because whenever you spawn her in the room, she always like flies out, flies back in, then comes back out and starts the fight, right? So yeah, I think there's too many technical things wrong with that. But
well, Volv would be funny because you would actually see two dragons.
imagine it comes out of like open grotto and field. Like, oh my god,
that would be so cool. Somebody, I don't need this to actually exist. I just want somebody to make like a video of like that happening, like somebody somebody doing Volvagia, but it's actually all the grottos in Hyrule Field. Like, I just want to, like, I want somebody to make that up. Thank you.
Yeah.
Jimbo, do you have an RSL?
I'm not very well versed in RSL, so I don't know if this is on or not. I'm leaning towards it's not, but again, could be wrong. I think it would be very interesting to see Wonder Items shuffled. Can anybody confirm whether or not they're not on? Okay, so
no.
I would be very interested to see what the game would play like with Wonder Items on. Just because there's so many like Wonder Item locations that I'm sure like a majority of the community just has no idea where they are.
No. No.
There's a document somewhere in Discord for Wonder Items that kind of has them all listed out with pictures.
Yeah.
I don't know where that is, but it exists. So
I'll probably get crucified for suggesting that. But
they're not really. I don't know when or if they're going to have a new season. So we'll see. But
yeah, yeah, I think Wonder Writers is fine. Like, I like, for me, it's, you know, there's so many in like Fortress and stuff like that. All those like things on the wall in Fortress, and like the two torches next to Hyrule Castle, like actually on the drawbridge kind of thing. Like, and I only know that one because you hit it with a slingshot and Glitchless 100% to pick up a red rupee. The reason why I know why that one's there. So yeah, there's so many of them out there. Like,
it's pretty similar to pots, grass, those sorts of beehives kind of settings. So I could see it being included and it being pretty fine overall, but you probably add it to the multi-select pots, freestanding, and what's the other one? Pots, freestanding.
Crates? No.
Crates, grass. Yeah, that's it. Great. No, grass is separate.
Yeah, that's like right later to the beehives and stuff like that. Kind of
So you can like add it to that or have it separate, but
you want to know why I find them interesting too? It's not even like the fact, it's the fact that like I know pretty much every other aspect of this game, but like when you play Wonder Item Shuffle, I'm learning about, like, obviously this would, you know, the more you play it, like, you end up losing this feeling. But I mean, it's like, I feel like I'm actually learning something new about the game that I didn't know before, because I didn't know where all of these Wonder Item locations were, because there's some that are just so obscure. You would never, like, just playing through the game, you would never find them. So I don't know whether it's probably not good for like a competitive scene, but I don't know. I still think, I just think it's an interesting setting.
It just makes it complicated. So it's just for people to get into it, it just raises the bar a little bit higher with each like thing that you add to those sorts of things. But kind of a cool environment to play it in is the max check settings, which I don't know if you played that before, but
no, but I know you have.
I certainly have. I think the last count was 2,605 checks.
Jesus.
It's a 12-hour minimum grind, and then you kind of see where you're at and forfeit or keep going. But it's pretty fun, complicated, and you can easily just miss something because you don't know it's a check, but it's pretty fun.
That's why they have the sparkles, the sparkle effect.
Yeah. It's fun. It's there's some you wouldn't expect are wonder items. So like I think it's like the like torches or something in the castle moats.
Yeah. And you know, funny enough, you use that wonder item in the vanilla speedrun of the game to farm money.
Oh.
When you're going to castle. So okay. It's just like, oh, I know this. I know these locations. I know these spots because I did a couple of vanilla runs in my time. I know, Chuckles, you've been grinding vanilla, so.
Are you guys high? I literally said that about 5 minutes ago.
Did you really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I literally, we've actually had this conversation twice now.
Okay. Well, we can move on to the next question.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
It's just like, you know what's surprising? The Hyrule Castle torches. Like, no, it's not surprising. I've just told you. It's not surprising whatsoever. Like, literally just said it. Okay. Thanks for listening to me. That's great. Cheers, guys. I was going to cap off this conversation. Like, I was going to, you know, Jimbo saying like, defining something that, you know, is makes you like, you're learning something new about the game. One of my favorite things is like when playing the vanilla game now, being like, oh, what is actually in this chest in vanilla? Because like, you just open all the chests in rando and they're all different every time. But it's like, what is in the two small chests in the Goron City maze, right? Like, what is in those? And I can tell you that it's two purple rupees. Like, There you go. Like...
Was it the left chest that was a 200?
I don't know. I didn't check that one.
I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't check that one.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Chuckles.
Nah, whatever. We're moving on. Right. This is so funny. It's just so funny. I'll be looking forward to see if the listeners pick up on that. Okay. Second question. This is probably my favorite question actually that somebody asked. And I'm going to expand it a little bit to so we can give some multiple different answers. But it's, who's your favorite Ocarina of Time random players of all time? Not necessarily who you think is the best, but the person you will root for no matter what. So I've expanded this that we should all give three people, okay? We should give who we think is the best racer, who is our favorite racer, so not the best, but like our favorite racer, and somebody who is kind of low key, somebody who is like... You know, not kind of like, you know, not a winner, champion, like people who we think are like, you know, our low key favorites. So there we go. Three people. Jimbo can go first. Off you go, Jimbo.
Okay. So best racer, I think, has to go to, I guess, I don't know. It's between Mr. Mario or E. Cola for me. And I think that's just because of, you know, recency bias. Performance. Ecola's won a fuck ton. Mr. Mario is also won a fuck ton. I'll just go with Mr. Mario. I think Mr. Mario is the best racer. My favorite racer, I think I'd have to go with, I'll say Zephyr, no offense, just because like, ooh, the guy just fucking clowns something like every seed. So it's just hilarious to watch. And what do we say? What are you looking for low key fave?
Just like somebody who you like, somebody you like that just isn't on many people's radars or something like that. Just like, I don't know.
You know what? And this is going to be a very ironic answer, but I'm going to go with Ink.
Ooh, all right. Okay.
You want to know why I'm going to go with Ink? Because I've watched Ink play past the couple seeds, and I didn't actually realize how good of a runner he really is. Like, he's really solid. He memes a lot. Does he piss me off with his Flyers comments? Absolutely. He can, you know, shut the fuck up and go somewhere. But no, I think he's a really good runner. I think he's been up and coming for a while, and I think if he keeps playing, he may just find himself like in the list of top players in one of the upcoming tournaments, like main tournaments. Give it a couple seasons. I think you'll see him in the top 20.
Well, he is in the Speed Game and Summer Series. He beat his first match against Kitstifer and now is playing another South American against... Not Kitstifer is South American, it's because Ink is South American. Not from Canada. he's playing Fabio, so that would be a good match. I think Ink could easily win that match. And then we'd have to play the winner of Kawari versus Flea, so that would be like a dangerous. These are Flea's Flea settings. So,
oh yeah, I don't think Flea is gonna have, no disrespect, but I think Flea's going towards, he's going for the end. Mm-hmm. Like if you ask me, he might be in the finals.
Yeah. Oh wait, I mean this could be because they're both on the opposite Mario. Side of the draw. It literally could be Mario Flea. Could be Mario Flea. Yeah. They're on opposite sides of the draw. Yeah.
It's all we ever get, man.
It's all we ever get. It's what the crowd wants.
Like, can Mr. Mario just fucking lose? Like,
I said that to him last episode.
Hey, man, we're trying. Like, oh, really? We're trying. We're in the trenches, man.
Hey, he's going to get through Rorschach round one.
That's true. He might lose it.
Yeah, he could do. Could do.
But yeah, I'll go with that. Best racer, Mr. Mario. Favorite, I'll have to go with Zeph. And then low-key fave, I'll stick with Ink.
Oh, that's a good selection. I like that. Emo, do you want to go next?
Not really, but I will. But I think the best racer is Mr. Mario. I don't want to like copy Jumbo, but it's not even like a recency bias thing. I think you have to be at least like a somewhat competent player to make RSL the format. And yet, Mario helped a lot with that, early playtesting especially. And he's won multiple tournaments throughout, you know, 5 years, 4 years. Multiple different formats, doesn't, you know, has done mixed, one mixed last year. So I think like just his potential is really high and his ceiling's really high. And just performance in tournaments has been relatively high overall too. And it kind of has to be if he went a lot. So I think that'd be the best racer currently. I don't think he's the best of all time. I guess that's kind of what the question is, though, right? Or
that's actually an interesting point. Like, is it the best racer in 2026, or is it the best racer of all time in the time period that they played in?
Yeah, do you want to amend your answer, Jimbo?
No, I think I'll keep mine the same.
Like, would you say ATZ Season 1 is better than Mario in Season 9?
No. No.
I don't think so. And again, no disrespect to ATZ, but like I think when ATZ, like ATZ is a phenomenal player. But like way back then, you got to remember too, like not a lot of people really understood how to play this game. Right? Yeah. So like ATZ just had that advantage on everybody.
I guess that's kind of my point though. My point is that in Season 1, at that time point, in that moment in time, nobody could touch ATZ.
Oh, yeah. And if, 100%. Like, you'd be 100% correct.
He won clearly almost every race. He got the maximum amount of points in a qualifying period. Like, at that time point in 2018, 2017, he was the best runner. And nobody was, he was leagues above everyone else. And like, Bonnaroo and Marco in Season 2 and 3 were leagues above everybody else. Were they better than what E-Cola and Mario are now, like in this kind of time period? I think it's a lot closer. I don't think those two are the two. I definitely agree they are the two. I think the people behind them, you know, they're pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, it really could be anybody at the end of a tournament like that. So I think, like if you had to say, like, best to never win a tournament, I think that's, has Floosh won a tournament?
RSL?
No, he came. Well, no.
Didn't he win RSL?
Yeah, he won RSL, didn't he?
Oh, okay.
He won an RSL. Yeah.
Probably one of the best to never win a main tournament. But best of all time probably comes back down to those two anyway, Mario and E-Cola, but I'll pick Mario for me. And then my favorite racer, I think it's definitely What the Hell's Happened. He's just a really fun guy to hang out with. And similarly, he's really fun to race against. He's a great racer overall. Might be a little rusty nowadays, but I think, I think he's fun to interact with, and he's fun to watch the stream and be in the chat room. So I think that qualifies to be my favorite racer.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of what he's like kind of given to the community back too. I think that definitely adds to that for me. So and then my least favorite racer, or no, wait.
My least favorite. Whoa.
Your least favorite. Let's add that. Yeah, we could add in our least favorite racer. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely myself.
yeah, you said it.
What was low-key fave again? Sorry. I was just so lost in the weeds. I definitely listen to you. Don't worry.
A guy you always root for, like, but they're not like known. They're under the radar. Like people.
Oh, like, so kind of like Dark Horse a little bit. Like,
well, somebody who you would like, you'd be happy to see they won, but they don't. They're not really kind of like. It would be surprising for someone to hear that. I don't know.
I think Fox TC for me, really great player, doesn't have a ton of time to play right now. He's playing a lot offline. And I don't know, really know how that's going, but in terms of like his progression, new player, you know, made Challenge Cup like first season and qualifiers, I think is a really good baseline to start at. And I'm excited to see where it goes in the future. Just mechanically really good. He used to speedrun. And he kind of gets the routing thing. Just needs a lot more practice and reps under his belt. But definitely something I would root for sure.
Yeah, cool. Mine aren't too much different. We've kind of covered it. Like, best racer, I will take E-Cola as the best
okay.
racer.
As the European.
I will.
I mean, like you said, it is between one or the other.
Yeah, right? I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Favorite racer. I will also go with What the Hell Has Happened. I've said this before as a story. I used to hate What the Hell Has Happened.
What?
I joined like season four and he was like winning like main tournament and winning RSL at the same time. And I was okay. Like, oh, this guy just wins everything. So I really wanted Sponge to beat him in the S4 final. He's just lovely. He's just great.
Like, yeah, there's just, like nothing to hate about him.
Yeah, I know. That's what makes it like. That's probably why I hated him even more. I was like, God, he's nice. Everybody likes him, and he's good at this fucking game. Like,
what doesn't he have? You know,
dude, yeah, I will say he is cool as shit. When I first went to SGL, everybody was up in the party room, and we got there late. And like, I walked in, we were saying hi to everybody, and like, literally. The first thing he throws me a beer. First of all, I got iced. So yeah. Then I get, like, as soon as I walk in the door, I get iced. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Right? So I get thrown, and he throws me the fucking, the Smirnoff ice or whatever. And I got to chug it, and I chug it. And the whole time, Hells is like, chug, chug. He's like, whoa, this guy's a race mod. Like, what the fuck?
You'd be surprised.
It was just so funny. But yeah, he really is. He's a real fun guy to be around.
Yeah, and I think he's done a lot for the community that he had when he did regularly stream and stuff like that. And he was one of the people that people kind of rallied around. And, you know, so, yeah, even though, like, he wasn't the first person I watched regularly. Like, my first person I watched regularly doing rando was Spike Vegeta.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. Spike used to play. I don't know if he still does. I don't watch him too much anymore, but he used to play a lot.
He used to play a lot. He used to be the only thing he would stream. But he doesn't stream it at all now. Like, I used to like watching him because he was like not overly like executionally good at the game, but like he would talk about like what he was doing, and like it was great to kind of learn from and. So I was, you know, I would root for him as well. Low key fave. There's so many people. There's so many great people in this community. I will like, you know, Oak is a great one. And Floosh is a great one as well. Like, it's just people that I've met in person, like Rockshawk actually. Like I and Flea, yeah. Flea. Like I love Flea. Like yeah. Flea's great. So maybe Flea is my low key fave because we've like done the speed run and stuff together. Mm. And Sombra Vodka as well as a Franco. Sombra Vodka is just fucking hilarious. He's just so fucking funny. He really is like, and he's someone like the French community kind of rat like really like as well. So yeah, like there's so many good people in the French community. I actually I raced Volk 3 times last year in various things, and I actually enjoy talking to Volk. There's just loads like Pappy and Menu are great kind of individuals as well for the Franco community. Blue Guy is great as well. So there's just so many. There's so many good people in this community. There we go. There's my one low-key fave, the 8 people that I just named.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell, man? You're supposed to pick one.
All right, I'm picking Flea.
I'm picking Flea. Wrong answer.
Okay. You are right. There are a ton of great people in this community. Flea is a great one as well. It was funny because Flea just kind of popped up. And I know he had vanilla speedrunning experience, but he just kind of popped up out of nowhere in Rando. And I think it was SGL settings. He was just winning. And Drew and I were like, dude, who the fuck is this Flea guy? How does he just come in and he's winning, you know? And then we had a thing. It was a joke. We were like, okay, SGL, we're going to jump Flea on land. You know? And we told him about this. And he was laughing his ass off. Yeah, but he's wonderful. Dude, Flea's awesome.
It's so annoying. He's just better at me at everything. Rando, he's better than me. Speedrunning, he's better than me. We've both ran a marathon this year, and he's better than me.
I didn't know you ran.
Stupidly. Cool. He's stupidly good. So, yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next question, which is, with the talk of changes in the standard rule set, what are things that you would allow in the rule set that currently isn't? And why is the answer the King's Aura Fountain? I'm guessing they're talking about the jump slash through the wall, which would be my one. That would be the one that I would say, because it's allowed in Ice Percent. It's the one thing that we have that's different in Ice Percent is that jump slash through the wall. Love that clip. That would be my one. Yeah, definitely. But what about you guys? What would be your... your allowances or bans? Allowances or bans?
Do you want to go first?
I was just going to say, you can go first. I was just going to say, I knew that this had to be asked by either one Chuckles or somebody in the What the Hell's Discord, because I feel like this comes up all the time.
This feels like a Diesler question. This feels
100%. I was thinking Diesler. Yeah. But all right. Sorry. Go ahead, Emo. I just wanted to get that in there.
I would choose the other King's Aura clip. So when you unfreeze them from behind and just walk through them, allow that.
Yeah.
Because I'm really tired of having just one orphan check when you're going to do rush ice. Just allow this and then it becomes a smoother play experience. You don't have to do allow anything else. We're already kind of spotty in terms of what we allow in the rule, random rule set, right? It's not anything strictly adhered to as a glitchless rule set or glitches. It's kind of its own thing, and it kind of has been for many years. So I think it'd be fine to add it, and it'd actually add a lot of convenience to the seed.
I agree. And you know what's funny? The other day, I forget who it was. I could look and see who asked. Somebody asked in the race mod general channel if long shotting the torch through King's Aura once he was already thawed was allowed, and obviously that's also banned, but I feel like if you allow that what you were just talking about, obviously you'd have to allow the long shot thing, right? Because what's the difference?
King's Aura just doesn't really have a lot of collision, apparently. It's just
Are there any other actors you could clip through that would just adding that as a general rule would change off the top of your head?
I'm sure there are. I don't know any off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's definitely more than just one. I know there's a tech where you can shoot stuff through boulders with an arrow, depending on how far away you are from it, because it doesn't cull the actor, but it culls its collision. There's a weird mechanic going on there.
You see that in Master Quest Shadow a lot of the time because of the Song of Time block in front of the eye switch that lets you into deep shadow. Kind of obscure, but that comes up in that format.
Yeah.
Which I think is allowed.
Is it allowed? Okay.
Uh, when we did the NQ tournament, we allowed it, and it was allowed for RSL, I believe. But don't quote me on that. It's been many years since I've been an NQ shadow. It's not that bad, but
It's kind of weird because we do allow, like, I know the backflip over Mido isn't a clip. It's just the way that you, like, land on the collision, basically, like, pushes you past Mido, because he's got a short, tubby hitbox. But that's kind of, like, a weird thing with an actor that we allow.
What would you add, Jimbo?
I don't, like, it's not necessarily even the King Zora clip. It's just, like, clipping in general, man. I just think, like, I don't know. I want to watch the world burn, right? I want to just open up the floodgates.
Well, now that you're not a race mod. Yeah. Now everything's fine to burn.
But, like, does anybody else just think it's, like, weird? Like, we have certain exceptions that we make. Like, Shadow Crusher clip. It's like, we can clip through the Shadow Crusher, but we can't damage boost off the spike, which is a vanilla strat in vanilla speedrunning. Like, you're supposed to be, you know, that's how you do that room. You take damage and damage boost off of the spike and land on top of the crusher. It's just, I don't know. Like, I think some D boosts would be cool to allow. The problem is that we don't understand the implications, I think. Like, yeah, it's cool. Like, we want to see all this stuff, but then if we, like, just blanketly open things, like, we're going to end up, I mean, look what happened with the hammer slides, right?
Yeah. If you blanket, just allow something. I think these things have to be targeted. Like, if you're going to allow clips, it would be like certain things that you would be allowed to do. Like, another one for me is the, I'm staying in domain as adult. That's where all the best clips hang out, apparently. But going from the Lake Hylia Zora domain, shortcut that, of course, you can't do as adult because it's frozen over. I think that's a cool one to allow. I'd be up there. That'd be on my list of things to allow. That would make routing really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, once you've done kind of like ice or whatever, and then you don't have serenade, but you can get into Lake Hylia kind of thing. I don't know. I think that'd be really interesting.
Well, you can do to and from too. And that's the thing. Like, it's not just like it's a one way entrance. Like, there's a way to clip both ways, so you can go from lake to domain and vice versa. So, like, yeah, like, I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's not even just about the tech. It's about, like, what can this do to evolve how we route the game? And, like, would definitely. Well, go ahead.
Do you think Hessing would be too much to add to a tournament?
I do, only because it's going to be significantly harder to pull off on the emulator.
Without the adapter.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. Would I love to see Hessing? Yeah, because, I mean, it's just another decision you have to make. Say you don't have Bomb Bag, and, like, but you have a plethora of chews. Like, if you want to use the chews to, you know, fly across Hyrule Field, and, like, you're good at Hessing, I mean, fucking go for it, dude. Like, you know, that's your advantage. I don't know. I think it's fine to be able to practice. Go ahead.
Yeah, it becomes a really cool, like, management of resources too.
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah, so I don't know. I would love to see it. I know there's a ton of people that wouldn't want to see it or get anywhere close to it. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think the Hessen one, like Hessen ISG are two of those things that I wouldn't allow, because I think my thing with ISG is that it just kind of makes things boring. Like, it just makes kind of, like, combat and stuff boring. I think Hessen kind of does the same thing as well. I would allow things that put more intrigue into the game, like these clips that we were talking about. And I don't think Hessen and ISG are the things that make the game. For me, it doesn't make the game interesting.
I'd say Mega Flips.
Ooh.
Personally, I would like Mega Flips, because, like, and think of, like, accessing Fire Temple
as well. Like,
that's true. Yeah. Well, you can add the. Actually, we have advanced glitchless now, so technically you could add the tricks. They do have logic. Yeah. Shout outs to Dotso and Shiro for cooking that up. It is available. Just has to be utilized.
I think if you add them to a randomizer format, you'd add them to like RSL or something for ISG and Hessing. I think that would significantly make it a lot more attractive to race, just because, oh, okay, well now I can save like 30 minutes on it, like every single seed. That's great for the, like the average for the format, because the average for that format is not great. It's very inconsistent. Either like, you know, you can get a minute time or you can get 6 hours, and you just don't know, which is not great for practical racing and competition in general. I think it's good to have a set expectation, a moderately set average time, and that creates a good environment for a tournament. Just because everyone's on the same page that way. But what about if we revisited hover sliding? Do you think that should be something? Okay. Do you think that should be something that we consider for S10?
I don't think you'll ever see it. I don't think you'll ever see it ever suggested again for standard, if I'm being honest. Not after what happened.
That was such a shit show.
I mean, I actually think you're going to see, like, I know this doesn't have anything to do with the question, but I guess it does in a way, because we said that we could also ban stuff. I think water hop's going to be banned before next season, 100%. I think it's going to be banned within the next couple of weeks.
Ooh, that's crazy. You think there's a couple
and
weeks?
I don't have insider information. Like, I'm just going by the feeling of the community right now. I think after SGL, I think you may see. How long is SGL going for?
Three, four weeks.
I'm telling you, I think after SGL, water hop's going to be banned from the standard rule set.
Why though?
Because it's too seed altering. Like, it's one of the most impactful tricks I think I've ever seen since KZ skip. And I don't
Pretty much the same thing. And I think if you ban it, they're just going to unban it again. Like, I think it's that unproblematic of a trick. It's just easy to do, requires basically not a whole lot. Irons and hook, and you're good to go. Cool. I mean,
I just think it's more a meta thing. I think like the community is a lot more divided on water hop than it is on KZ skip at the moment. I know there's a lot of top runners that do not like the addition of water hop. They do not like the addition of water hop, and I know there's other runners as well that do like the addition of water hop. But I don't know. I think there are a couple, and you know, this is public. I'm sure there's a couple members of the race mod team that I know are against what water hop has brought. Again, they haven't told me that they're banning it, so I don't know that they're banning it, but just based on their comments, I don't think it's going to be around.
I just think it's a stupid item to have, long shot. Like, what is this? I don't know.
I was worried about hookshot extension in Valley, honestly. It's, and you know what? Oddly enough, you said that came up in the
Multiple times, by the way. Yeah.
It's I haven't seen it that often. Like, I think it was more in the category that FAE landed itself in. Like, you just didn't see it that often. Like, I thought it was going to be a lot. You're going to see it a lot more, and it's going to be a lot more impactful. But it's so niche.
It's setting dependent. I think that's why you're seeing it in the summer series, because of required only, and just.
That's true. Yeah.
You're just going to run into it a lot more often, and sometimes like it just gives you the gold scale logic for water entry. So that's mostly why you just won't see it as often as long shotless, but.
They have a weird like synergy, like the hookshot extension and the water hop kind of thing, because they both basically took long shot out of the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like you see a lot of hookshot extension, and you would see less of it if water hop was banned, because you definitely, you know, the reason why hookshot extension is so good in Valley is because you don't need to find the long shot in the vast majority of the cases. If you need to find the long shot, then you're not likely to do it, because you still need to find it. And you can take that qualifier seed and the SGL Summer Series as a really good example. A lot of people did hookshot extension over Valley, but if they needed the long shot to beat Morpher, they would have found the long shot. Like, they would have done Goron City, or they would have done Shadow Temple, whatever one they were missing. And I think that's my problem with Warthop, is that you're looking for one hookshot out of two hookshots available. They could be in two very different locations. And it kind of goes to the argument of, like, the variable reward med of, like, which direction you go is influencing the seed, and should be rewarding the person who can clear a seed, clear the requirements of the seed the quickest, rather than the luckiest player. I think it's increase in variance, and I can see it being banned as well. But I'm kind of chill with it. Not, it's one of those things that I think is could be tournament dependent. Like something like SGL, I can see it allowed. Something like Dungeon ER, I can see it allowed. But if you're gonna do like a standard Steve kind of like league or something like that, I can see it being banned for that.
Yeah, I can get behind that. See, for mixed pools, our solution, by the way, just open the bridge. You just start with it open. So you don't have to do that.
Yeah, I guess that is definitely, that's a way you can do it. I see a lot of people feel like they need to stick to the standard rule set 100%. And I just want to remind tournament organizers that, like, the way the rule set was released, it's designed for you to be able to tailor the rule set kind of to your own tournament. So, like, you can, like, yeah, they blanket, like, allowed everything, but, like, they're empowering tournament organizers to be able to say that you can't, like, yeah, like, we're gonna follow the standard rule set, but we're banning this. And, like, that's how, at least that's how it was explained to me.
Yeah.
So for season 9, I mean, because it was rolled out when it was, I think, like, the timing was just fucking abysmal. Like, we felt the need that we had to stick to it 1-1, just because, like, how shit would that look if, like, you know, right before the season, like, race mods are like, yeah, we got a new rule set for you guys to follow, and it's just like, and then the tournament team's like, yeah, fuck that, we're not following that, you know. So it just, I don't know, we felt the need to stick to it, like, to the T, but you're supposed to be able to just tailor it to how you want to run your tournament. So just keep that in mind. If you don't want to have water hop on, you can always just say, yeah, we're just not gonna allow water hop, or like, it's that goes for any piece of tech, by the way.
Yeah, I think as long as the explanation is good from the tournament organizers, then it's fine. If they just kind of do it, no explanation, I don't like that. It just doesn't.
No, yeah, well, it has to be outlined. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, I mean, like, that's certainly an option. But then, like, I mean, I think you guys, like, you chose the best route. Just open the fucking bridge. I mean, then there's just no
so
dispute,
much easier.
Right? Yeah, there's just no dispute. I didn't even think of that. It's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, you could do the same thing and just, like, you know, SGL or even S9. Hell, you can just start with the card. I don't really see the downside. Like, it starts open, sure. Like, you can just go there earlier in the seed. That's a little problematic. Again, for mixed, it's the reason we do that is because either entrance that leads there, you kind of want that to have, you know, the connections available. It's just a lot easier to think about, less backtracking and stuff like that, but definitely different context for a normal tournament.
Do you have the Gerudo Fortress, like, guard set to 0 then?
No, if you have card, they don't catch you as child. So
card becomes a check too. You can
that becomes a check then, doesn't it?
Well,
it does. No,
yeah. So you would do one guard still.
For mixed, we have it pre-completed fortress. So
it's just, so you just so
that's
get
a,
the item.
It's a different setting. So you can have bridge be open, but still have to do the guard check. That's a different setting. That's open fortress.
Yeah. You can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You could. I was going to think that you could set the guards to 0, and then there would be no Gerudo card check.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no check at all.
My bad. I thought you meant the guards in Valley. No. Oh. Yeah. You can set the fortress guards to 0. Yeah, that's the thing you can do.
Yeah.
But again, do you get the item, or it just deletes the check? Like Chuckles.
It just deletes it.
What the fuck? Just give me an item.
Yeah, and so if you have that, that's like one of the RSL quirks as well, that if you start with a card, then there's the likelihood is that there's no guards.
Interesting. I did not know that. The more you know.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, we can skip over this one.
Why is Chuckle so handsome? Is the question. That's from Segway. That's got to be from Segway. I think that's Segway.
You have the names. What do you mean?
Thank you. Thank you. No, you don't have to put your name in the question.
And oh, no.
I'm not really surprised by the question because I don't think we have any ugly members of the podcast. So we only have looks maxers here.
That's it. We're all
hell yeah.
We're all tender. Please Segway was like, he always has an issue with like his autocorrect. And he was going to call me sexy on stream, but it autocorrected to sexist. And so he was like, oh, look at that sexist face there. So,
oh my God.
What the fuck? Yeah. That's great.
Cool and segue. Sorry if this wasn't even Segway's question, but like I'm assuming it is.
Oh, no, that's a good segue.
Either that or like, I don't know. Like, actually, I don't. There would be nobody else that would say that.
You do have a really nice beard. I'll give you that. You have a really nice beard. I love your beard. No, like, that's, you know, I'm not hitting on you.
That's fine. Let's move on before I cringe myself to death. This actually did have a name. This was from T Grenadier. He says, "Where live show?" Is the no other like words in the sentence? Just okay. Where live show?
We so like, show. I would be so down, but like I would be like 40 fucking minutes late. So like, it's just not possible.
Oh yeah, we could do like a. Like a live mailbag, do it on ZSR, and like the questions come in from chat, and we answer the questions from chat.
Well, didn't you two do that live show PS6, 7? What was it?
Yeah, we did one time, like before.
We've done it a couple times. Me and Chimp did it before. I think S5.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, something like that.
Pre-show, and then we commentated, or I think we threw it to the commentators one time, and then the other time, I think it was pre-show into commentating one of the games. It was like game one or something. Maybe the other one was game three. It's been a minute, but yeah. I think we did one, me and you, Chuckles, or one of them. I think it's maybe season 6 or 7, yeah. Not memeing, like actual. Yeah, I mean, we could do like, hey, we all go to SGL this year. Hey, that's a live show right there.
Ooh,
actual live show.
Yeah. Camera, set up the camera and everything. Like,
sure. Yeah. I mean, part of the reason we don't do a live show, right, is because, well, the product's better when it's edited. So you would get a lot more downtime. It'd be a lot longer. Be a little bit less interesting overall, I think. We don't really have, you know, like studio sets or anything to like look at, you know, while we're talking. We just have our webcam and webcam background. So I think it just comes across way worse personally. Which is kind of why I haven't like, you know, pushed for it myself. But I mean, we could certainly do it. But I think like SGL in person sounds way more hype. Like I would do that.
That sounds
for
like
sure.
A great way of doing it. Now, this is a good question. Are there too many or not enough speed ups in the game? Thinking of fast boat, Ruto,
oh my God.
One, but also save opponent, etc.
Thank you, Zephyr, for this question. I appreciate it.
This was another anonymous question, actually. So.
No, it wasn't. This is 100% Zeph.
I could imagine it being Zeph. Actually, I don't think Zeph knows that the podcast even exists. So.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
He's been on it, hasn't he? I'm pretty sure he's been on it before.
I don't know.
I gotta check.
If he hasn't been, we gotta get him on.
That'd be good. I think he'd be a good. No, he wasn't because he lost.
He's a loser.
Wait, was he on with us, Chuckles? When we went, he might have spoke for.
That's
a little
what
bit
I
us.
Think. He was on with us when
yeah.
we did.
Oh, I think so.
He might have been, yeah.
Briefly.
Yeah.
All right, back on track.
Back on
speed
track.
Ups.
Speed ups.
I don't know. What do you guys
think?
It's
kind of connected to a little bit to the other question that we had of what would you allow or disallow in terms of tricks? Because that is a big source of speed ups is glitches, tricks, you know, that sort of thing. So I think it's a little bit interconnected of a question. I would choose ISG for sure for a speed up. Would I allow it? Yeah. But again, it's something like not as straightforward of a settings, you know, main tournament sort of thing. just because it takes a little bit away from execution, you know, that it's kind of nice to still have to have, you know, proceed with the baseline of execution and expectations. But but actual speed ups, I mean, there's so many that have been added that I feel like if we added more currently, I think it'd maybe be a little bit too much. Like the summer series seeds, they are extremely short, and you know, a large portion of that reason is, you know, at least 10-20 minutes over the past 4 or 5 years is because of these speed ups. So I don't think I would add any speed ups personally, but what do you guys think?
I think there's entirely too many. I've been I've been vocal about this in the Discord channels, and I've gotten into a couple of arguments over it as well. Because I know one of our big things post season 9, even like part of preseason 9, admittedly, was not including Fastboat or Fruto F1 in the S9 settings. And I mean, there, and I know people are going to hate me for this, but I mean, there are arguments on both sides, whether you like it or not, for maybe not so much. I don't know. I mean, Fastboat, yeah, I guess. Okay. But I think like, there's more of an argument for Ruto F1 than there is for Fastboat. I personally just, I hate Fastboat just because my game drops to 2 fucking FPS at the end of the boat every time and I want to throw up.
Hey, we're all PC boys here, so we all understand here.
Yeah, that's no shot at Kirox, who actually makes a majority of the speed ups. Like, Kirox is awesome, but like, it's just, it's, I can't do that. Like, any in-game lag on any game, not even the Uter, it's just like, if I lag at all, it is the most infuriating fucking thing for me, and I just can't deal with it. I also think that there's just literally no downtime in Seeds now. Like, we're just eliminating any sort of downtime. Zeph and I joke about this all the time, but I am so dead serious. I cannot take a fucking drink of water at all throughout a Seed. I am left-handed. Left-handed. I cannot move and do shit at the same time with anything. Like, it's a pain in the ass.
Wait, can you have a right hand though, right?
I mean, I have a right hand, but like, I'm doing that. Like, I'm trying to track shit with it. It's just fucking like, you know how you write stuff down on a tracker and whatnot with your right hand while you play? Like, I can't do that. It's impossible.
Yeah.
I need some sort of downtime, whether it's to, you know, drink some water so I don't die of thirst in a 3-hour fucking Seed. Whether I gotta take a piss. Like, I wanna ride the boat so I can get up and take a piss. I've been sitting here for 2 hours and 45 minutes. I'm 31 years old, dude. I gotta take a fucking piss. Like, I'm sick of it. Like, why? There's no downtime at all. And, like,
be a better age.
More.
Well, but we have all these speed-ups, though, Jimbo. Why are you taking 3 hours? That doesn't sound very sped up.
Yeah.
Because I suck.
Yeah, Jimbo.
I didn't qualify for top 32. I fucking suck.
Oh, no.
I didn't qualify for Challenge Cup. I fucking suck.
Oh, no. No, it's just not your year, man. I'm sure you can bounce
back. I need all of the downtime that I can get. And honestly, like, I'm the wrong person.
You need a walker too, old man?
I mean, no, we're getting there. Believe me. I'm the wrong person to ask this question because, and I've said this in public channels too, like, if it were up to me, you'd all be doing fucking guards. So like, don't ask me this question.
Oh yeah, that's all right. Chuckles, what do you think about the speedups?
I think the argument is so boring. I think it's dull. Like, it doesn't really matter. The thing that annoys me the most is the straw manning, when somebody is like, oh, Fastboat makes the game too quick, and then somebody who wants it on is like, well, do you want to save a opponent and like watch Darunia go into his room every day? And it's just like, no, that's not like,
it's separate.
It is as stupid. Like, if you're saying that, and I know people who have said that, then you just don't know how to make any kind of argument. You're thick as pig shit. But also in the same way that, like, I think the strength for people who want it turned off is crazy as well. Like, I think it's like an insight into human psychology, how people could be so ingrained into this argument and the side that they are on of something that is actually meaningless and doesn't matter anything to our lives.
Yeah.
And it's a very minute part of the game that we're playing that we have all these conversations. I think there's a balance to it, absolutely. Like, I think some of it actually influences the gameplay as well, and influences game decisions. So there's that to consider too. It's just so overblown. It's not worth any of our time.
You are.
I'd rather talk about settings and, you know, potential tournaments.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you're right in saying that too. It's just like there's no like healthy discussion about it. It's just like people just can't understand that, like, on both sides. Like, it's not just like one side's overpowering the other. Well, it's like everybody has their own fucking opinion, dude. Like, you know, like your opinion is not above all. And it's just like, I feel like we get like that with like all discussions in this Discord, honestly, like settings, tricks, like whatever it may be. It's just like people just can't have civil discussions about this. Like, everybody just calm the fuck down. Like,
from you. Are you saying this, Jimbo?
What? I am very civil.
I had to DM you. What did I DM you the other day? Like, you were...
Actually
might have been on this discussion.
It wasn't. But listen, I wasn't the one that got super defensive until I got attacked. And I was like, dude, listen, if you're going to come at me, I'm going to put you in your fucking place. Like, that's just the end of it.
I had to message saying, you okay, hun?
Yeah, you did. 100%. You said, you okay, hun? And like, we're not going to read my reply, but I was fuming, dude. Let's not sit there and act like that I came in fucking, you know, like ready to scrap.
I thought we were having
a civil discussion.
If I had the choice between these three things, though, I would definitely turn off Fast Boat, turn Rudo F1 on, and then turn Fast Epona off, I think. I think I enjoy saving Epona, but...
Save the horse.
But I don't really care either. What, like, if either of them are on or off, okay. Sure. Like, hey, I remember back when Deku Temple
I like the Deku Temple.
I remember when that was open all the time. Remember that, guys?
Yeah. Like, open Deku.
So, if you want to talk about speed ups, open Deku. Come on. Like, yeah. Let's go.
But if you want Ruto Floor 1, then you want vanilla adult fishing. Ah.
All right, next question.
Okay, yeah. Final question? This is the final question. This is the
final question. Yes, it is.
All right.
Last question.
Your biggest surprises?
Do you want to read the question?
No. Nobody heard that. Go ahead, read it. I'm sorry.
What were your biggest surprises in season 9? I have one. I'll go first if you want. My biggest surprise of season 9 was how popular the EU morning quals were. Let's fucking go, EU morning quals. That's what we want, baby.
I wasn't surprised about that at all. And I wasn't surprised because I know that you've all been like wanting that for like the past 4 seasons. So, like, I already knew that there were people that were going to show up for that. So it's just like, why haven't we done this yet? Like, what are we doing?
I think the surprise is that I knew it would be like, when kind of like thinking where I thought the numbers would be, I thought it would be in the numbers that like the NA, like West Coast day, like the weekday West Coast quals are, where they're normally like 11 p.m. Eastern or whatever those quals. I thought it was going to be like those levels. I didn't expect it to be, you know, pretty similar. Like, I think the first EU morning qual was like the fifth biggest qual or something like that. Like, it was crazy. Like, I was so surprised we got like 55 people in that qual. And you're right, like, it's been one of the things that I've been calling for a long while and I've been critical of. It's quite funny. I was looking through the TPR qual schedule and there's no EU morning qual in there. And I'm just like, fucking, what is with people who just can't arrange a tournament schedule? Like, it's like fucking Europeans don't exist or something. Like, I don't know. Like, it's crazy. But yeah, that was my big surprise of season 9.
about you, Jim?
What about you, Emil? Oh, me?
Oh. Mexican standoff. No, you go, you go.
I just got a DM, random DM from one of my friends. Any advice on shopping for a VPN?
Oh,
what the fuck?
It's just an ad?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm afraid to respond. All right, anyway.
Sponsored by Surfshark or something?
No, no.
whoa. What's my biggest surprise?
You were a Tony Org as well. You might,
I was a Tony Org. Like,
do you have some things from behind the scene that might
Yeah, I guess I'm just going to go with like one of our orgs quitting mid-season just randomly. I think that was my biggest surprise.
Yeah. Like, that was a bit of a shock that an individual just like left the Discord. Just like,
yeah, it's not funny. Like, I felt bad, but it was just like, it's funny looking back. It's like, you know, you're expecting. When somebody asks this question, I'm sure you're expecting to hear something about like the tournament itself.
Yeah.
Or like results or whatever. And it's just like, no, dude, like, I don't really. I picked Mario to win the tournament. I was not shocked at all. Like, you know, but yeah, I would say, yeah, just quitting mid tournament on a completely unexpected. I would say that was my biggest surprise. Honestly, it's crazy. Emo?
You know what I'm going to say.
I was going to say double, but you go, mate. You go.
That I ended up 33rd. Like, what?
Oh, yeah.
I was like near like 40th seed, and I kind of just didn't do as well as I needed to in the last seed, and I knew it. But you still finish it out, right? And you just wait and see. Hey, maybe enough people will drop, and then people just kept dropping, and was like, And then it was like me on 33rd. I'm like, okay, well, like, I'll go 0-2 and lose to E. Cola. Okay, like, it's, sure. But then I have to go play Challenge Cup now. And it's like, oh, well, it's still surprising, though, that I got that high and that I did so well in the qualifiers. But I just locked in. So I was definitely surprised by that.
Now we got to see you in top 20. We just got to see you in top 20 next season. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see.
That's it. I think we had it on the podcast as well that there was like, what, 10 new people in the top 32 or something like that as well. So
it was 11. Oh. We went over this. It was 11.
Was it actually 11? 11? 11?
Remember, we had to amend our fucking mistake on the next episode.
We can't count. We already know we can't count.
Yeah.
It's going to be the meme for this year. We just can't count, man. I don't know.
And what the hells didn't make it? Like,
that was also surprising, yeah.
That was a big surprise, yeah. Yeah. My other big surprise is that there was more Challenge Cup restreams on Slug Central than there was on.
Oh, dude, that's so good.
That's a good stat.
I kind of feel bad because I blasted them in the Slug Central channel. And then, like, I think somebody read it and was a little upset. But I mean, like, what, dude, what can you say, man? Like, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. And it's not even, like, their fault. Like, it's the whole tournament as a whole, man. I don't think they can host a tournament next season. Like, that was egregious.
I think the kind of the way that the restreaming was kind of like, you know, when you have a program like TSG and you don't consistently have the volunteers, you're not consistently having something like CSR has the exact same problem, that there's just like they only do the main tournament now basically on ZSR, right? They don't do anything else.
We don't do weeklies or anything. I mean, the weeklies, we're not going to stream one racer.
We had the mixed semis and finals last year. We'll probably do the same thing again this year. It's not just the main tournament. I mean, if you want to be on ZSR, all you have to do is go ask Drez and see what he can do. But it's not like an impossibility or anything. Like, I'm sure if like the Escape from CAC orgs want to get their final on ZSR, I'm sure they could. I'm sure you'd be very glad to. So
100%.
Definitely hit up Trez if you're a tournament organizer and you want to get at least like your finals, you know, maybe final couple rounds or matches on ZSR. It really is, they have a great system for it. So definitely head him up.
And if you want to see Challenge Cup hosted by Slug Central next season, hit up Chuckles 501.
You know what? I wouldn't even want it on Slug Central. Like, I know we, like, I like it, just even if it was just in like the side quest Discord or something like that. Like, I don't know. Or are you just on ZSR? Can't ZSR do it? Why can't ZSR host it? Like, there's no reason why not. Literally, no reason why not.
I don't know.
It'd be a lot easier. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Same volunteer pool too, from what I understand. So it's just, I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, it was just a surprising season all around. So, like, I'm sure we could sit here and list out, you know, a dozen more things that were pretty surprising. But Ecola not making it out of first couple rounds.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Yeah, I got two.
The number one
right?
seed. Yeah. Yeah, the number one seed.
You know, only two people.
Was it
Nopons
and then who else? Who beat him? Nopons and who?
Naestrial beat him.
Naestrial, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. Super.
And then lost
to
Mr. Mario in round two, round one of the other knockouts. So, yeah. What a season! What a season! And we haven't really mentioned like the end of Challenge Cup as well, and how Challenge Cup had to go to a game four. The final of Challenge Cup had to go to a game four.
Yeah, the power outage incident, game three again. So,
yeah, what a disaster that was.
But hey, at
I
least,
can't believe Barrel like offered a rematch. I just find that shocking.
yeah. I just would have played it out personally. Just be done with it. Well, it's unfortunate, but like it's kind of up to the orgs if they want to rule it a separate way, in my opinion, at least. But
I don't. And again, I hate the fact that that kind of shit is on the runners, dude. Like, take it out of the runners' hands.
Yeah, I don't think it should be in there. Like, because like the org was in the race time chat and was like, well, you could just finish and win, or you could offer him. Like, well, why are you doing that? Like,
yeah, you can't.
It's not. You're being pressured in like a high pressure scenario like that. It's just not, it's not really cool. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, what are you gonna say? Oh, well, you could offer him a rematch, and it's just like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. And then you look like an asshole. It's just
Well, either way, we do have a new Challenge Cup winner with Fur, right? Fur one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
big and he's win out for, round one of the summer series.
Oh no.
Yeah, he got the unfortunate sponge matchup, so
Oh, okay. Well,
unfortunate,
yeah,
but
that'll do it.
I think the thing, like one of the things with the whole the barrel for thing in the game three thing is that a lot of people have been saying like, oh, there'd be an asterisk against his name if he, you know, if he didn't do a rematch. But like, there's just as big as an asterisk next to Fur's name in this Challenge Cup because he shouldn't have won. Like, he just outright by the rules shouldn't have won.
Yeah, you also could have got creamed in that race. Like, what do you mean? Like, how far along were they?
It was difficult to kind of say like how ahead or anybody were, because they had different dungeons completed. They were looking for different items. Like, it was very kind of difficult to see. And
yeah,
Barrel was probably like 2 minutes ahead, maybe, and they were still looking for another item. I think they were still looking for strength two or something like that. So it could have gone to anyone, but if you've lost an hour's worth of... We said this with my match versus Louis Ferns. Like, if you've lost an hour... If you haven't saved in an hour, if you have not saved in an hour, that's on you. I'm sorry. Yeah. That is just on you. Like, that is your fault.
I know the VC crashes aren't a thing but anymore, but yeah. Definitely.
I will give them some grace, though, because I know... Again, rules are rules. So, like, yeah, like, in, like, I would just say, like, you know, like, that's on you, buddy. Like, sorry. But, like, I understand why they don't want to do that, because they don't want to decide the tournament like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, and, like, like, there is nothing against, like, Barrel and what, like, he, you know, what a fucking, like, trooper to be, like, to do a rematch. Because that is, that, you know, that's, you know, sportsmanship that we don't see in
100%
anymore. So, like, all props on him. And they were like, he was very much wanting this tournament to be done and stuff like that as well, to play another day of it. Like, it was just,
You know what's really funny though? The winner of Challenge Cup this season still has an asterisk next to their name, because Per literally has that in his name, like in Discord. So,
like, we know what an asterisk means now.
You're gonna get that anyway, so hope you're happy, community.
Nah, and it's not like, it sounds like I'm shitting off her, but like, he's a great player. He knocked me out. Like, he's a really good player. But it is one of those things that, like, the tournament organizer shouldn't, like, have offered a rematch in that situation.
Like, they just have a lot more power inherently over making the tournament run smoothly and making sure players have a good time. That's really the two things it comes down to most of the time. And you need a reliable team for that. And the hardest thing to do, at least in my experience as a tournament organizer, is to ask for additional help and realize you need to ask for additional help. So please, if you do need help, just ask. People will step up if they want to, but you won't get anywhere if you have a team that's not like really working together, not being able to cover everything. So, Before we wrap up this episode, it'd be good to mention at least the announcement from Trez a few days ago on the 19th of May, announced something just to, you know, gather interest level and make it easier for potential organizers of this idea. But he brought up the Mentor Mentee tournament kind of idea that a lot of other randomizers have done in the past pretty successfully. What do you guys think about that? Like, somebody like either live coaching during like the tournament race or like coaching period up to a certain point. There's nothing set in stone right now, but he said there was over 70 responses, coaches and players. What do you guys think about this kind of
there's
idea?
More now. Last I heard it was approaching 200 responses.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's actually crazy. I didn't think the community was that lively still. So, it's crazy. People are really interested.
There's been like this huge like kind of void that like there's not really been like this kind of thing at all yet, because, well, for the first couple of years, no one knew how to route. So like, what are you going to tell them? Like, well, I don't know, do fishing, kind of a thing. Like, and then kind of get into the meta, like establishing that, just like competitive practices, you know, getting everything up to this point that we're at, having passwords, you know, just a lot of infrastructure and randomizer work, adding settings, that sort of thing. So I don't know if we've had room in the past for it, but I'm all on board. I'm all about coaching. I've probably coached about up to 10 people now total over, you know, randomizer career so far. So I'm all for it. But what do you guys would you coach anybody or?
I think it's a great idea. I don't think I can, one, qualified to coach anybody, but two, I also just don't have the time to dedicate to that. But I do think it's great for people that, you know, want to get involved, that do have the time, that enjoy teaching. I think it would help bridge the gap too. There's been, you know, kind of a rift between different side communities and whatnot in the main Discord, and I think this is like a huge step to try and mend that. So I think it's great. I think it's great for everybody. Chuckles.
People,
what about you?
Randomly allocated to somebody? Like, if you sign up to a mentor, are you randomly allocated to a mentee? Like, how does that work? Like,
I don't know if the details have been ironed out.
Do like a personality quiz or something like that, and you're aligned with somebody to the same personality as you? Like, well, how's that work?
That would just be up to the organizers. They have a lot to consider for sure, but this is just like an interest level kind of announcement. I'm sure in the coming months, maybe there'd be another one, you know, actually announcing the tournament, signups and all that, but you know, good first step at least towards that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's good. Chuckles, would you coach anybody?
Would I? I don't think so. Like, it'd be something I'd be really interested to see from a distance. But yeah. I don't think it's something I want to take part in. But I fully support it.
I just, I think it'd be really cool to get somebody that's never played OT or randomizer and see how far, how, like, how much I can craft them into a good player.
Mm.
Like, that'd be really cool to document.
I also just don't have patience, dude. Like, that's what it is. Like, you need to be a certain kind of person to be able to teach. And I, like, not even just Uter, like, in general. Like, I don't think I would be a good teacher in any aspect at all.
It's kind of, I mean, at least from my experience, at least, coaching is a lot like speedrunning and learning that. You kind of have to break it down. You know, you're kind of teaching yourself, right, by learning a speedrun. Just like all the different parts that go into it, routing, mechanics, execution, a lot of things that we do in randomizer. So, in a lot of ways, it's very similar to that. But there's a lot of like good ways to practice, good things to, you know, think of, and things to like kind of work towards, have like objectives, you know, for like a practice session or a coaching session. So I think it has a lot of potential. For sure, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. I think just
I want to see like the settings and the rules and stuff like that, maybe a little bit before I kind of like commit. I'm guessing this is just like, are people interested in doing something like this rather than like a hard sign up for something?
Yep,
100% it is. 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I think Trez mentioned that in the announcement. So depending on how many people respond, which I mean, if they have 200 responses at this point. You can bet your ass if there's like an organization team that's willing to put it on, it's going to happen.
They're going
to
do
it. Yeah.
Maybe, but, maybe I would help like organize that. I don't know. Maybe
yeah. Like you don't necessarily have to teach or coach anybody. You can just facilitate the tournament. Yeah.
Maybe if you wanted to do that.
Well, you're not doing league anymore. So
a little thing. Maybe. Hey, I've already got a tournament that I'm helping to organize. So it's coming through, don't worry.
Yeah, I know.
Ladder.
Coming back hard. So
all right. Well, that's gonna do it for us on today's episode of the podcast. Thanks again, as always, to my co-host Chuckles.
It is 9:15. It would be just past 11 o'clock if Jimbo was on time. That's fine.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of, thank you again, Jimbo, for joining us. You missed last episode. It was great having you back on, as always.
Yeah, it was great to be back. Again, I say this every time, but I love talking to you guys. I feel like we have a great dynamic, and we always have a good time shooting the shit on here. So, looking forward to the next one.
And we'll see you all next time on the Gossip Stone Podcast.